How's it going, everybody? This is the Nitty Gritty. My name is Chad. With me, as usual, is Leonard. And this is a show about wrestling. We are out of the holidays. It is 2025, Leonard. And how was your New Year's?
Jenny and I went to a place for dinner called Home Fires Grill, which we had never been to before locally, and had one of the best cooked steaks I've ever had, to be honest with you. We were both very pleased with that. And we hear they're known for their wings, so we're going to go back. So I had a pretty quiet New Year's. We're not the kind to go out like we used to.
No, neither is my family either, which we usually spend in Connecticut with friends. But it is an exciting time to be a wrestling fan right now. As I've mentioned on a previous show, you have a lot going on. The big thing this week is, of course, Raw debuting on Netflix for the first time. And it took place from the Intuit Dome, Intuit Arena, in Los Angeles.
It's where the Clippers play in LA.
Exactly. And, you know, I've lost track of all the attendance records the WWE throws out over the years. As you were here, if you watched it, The Rock says it's, you know, the biggest indoor arena gate for WWE of some sort.
It was 17,000 and some people, but when you say gate, you're talking dollar amount. So ticket prices.
Yes, right. Yeah.
And arena would not include stadium shows, so not your WrestleMania.
Exactly, right. And that's
so all the little caveats he threw in there to make that be something.
Yes, absolutely. And look, no matter what company you're for, no matter what, you know, you watch or don't watch, right now, WWE is hot. And this crowd proves it. Now, obviously, this was a much publicized show. People were looking forward to it. But they're hot, and the crowd was hot for this. It opens up with a really cool video package with, like, a you know, almost like a four-way screen surrounding the ring. Mm-hmm. And you get those video packages, montages, you know, showcasing the history of the company, as only WWE can do. Nobody does these types of video packages like WWE, and I don't think any company ever will. And it was really cool. It, you know, the whole, you know, painting aspect of it was neat, I thought. You know, of course, the screens drop to the ground and it reveals Triple H in the ring, which I expected, you know, him to come out right away. And, you know, he gets the crowd, you know, revved up to a certain degree, showcase, you know, telling everybody it's on Netflix for the first time. And, you know, of course, they are doing a lot of, you know, thank youing and, you know, to Netflix. Like,
Netflix is the greatest partner ever in the history of media. Yeah, a lot of, I mean, that. Showing a lot of the executives who nobody knows who they are and praising them.
Right. Yep. They're in attendance and they're up in a box. Then they move closer and, you know, so that happens. And then it begins with The Rock coming out. And The Rock comes out to give a promo with the, you know, the Rock belt that he was given, you know, given by Muhammad Ali's widow.
Muhammad Ali's widow, I believe, is what they said. Yeah.
You know, he gets the crowd going. And my comment on this is that there seems to be a noticeable step back from what was indicated at WrestleMania, which was that The Rock could be heading towards a match at WrestleMania 41 with whoever, whether it be Roman Reigns or Cody Rhodes or whatever. There seems to be a noticeable step back from that because he's praising everyone. And even as the show would go on, like, there was no hint of feuds involving The Rock. Mm-hmm. Maybe they changed course on that. But it was cool to see The Rock, as usual. You know, that's how the show got started. Leonard, what did you think of the beginning?
Well, first of all, I'll just say I was very impressed by the production values here. What you were saying with the screens at the beginning, but then to the entrance wall and the entrance ramp and the ring apron and what they were projecting on there with the videos were great. I loved a lot of the camera work. There's a shot later on where they come like through on the upper concourse doors and sweep down. I had heard that they were trying to get a little more innovative with their camera work since, the TKO takeover. I really saw that. I don't think they had a hard camera. I didn't see one. It seemed to be crane shots and handhelds and things like that. So I thought it looked good. And just for Netflix too, we have a TV that's several years old. It's no ultra 4K, anything like that. And this was one of the crispest, clearest, brightest shows I've ever watched on the TV. It looked really good. And, no lag, no pixelation like they have with the Tyson Paul fight. So I thought it looked good every which way you could say it could look good. And again, yes, the packages they do are great. I knew Hunter was going to start. I told my wife we would see Rock and John Cena, no question. And then we got Rock to start with. And I think he did a good job of doing what he does. I mean, if you're going to send someone out there to talk him into a frenzy, he's really going to be your best choice to do that with. And he didn't really need to say much of substance, and he didn't really, but the crowd was into it, and that was the most important thing. So I thought it was fine.
No, I agree. And then we go into the first match, which is Roman Reigns versus Solo Sikoa, Tribal Combat Rules. And you'll hear me mention this with almost all of the matches that are on this card, but they all kind of, to me anyway, have similar formats in the way that they're presented. Even though this was Tribal Combat Rules, like each match to me, and I think it was most noticeable with another one later on, but you have work on the outside, some work on the outside, some stuff with the tables or the stairs or whatever. Then they go back in the ring and they trade finishers for what feels like 10, 15 minutes. And so each match on this card, I would say, was okay, but didn't impress me really. Like they were all serviceable in the way that they are, but this is why, I haven't been watching a lot of WWE stuff as of late because to me, the matches aren't interesting, even if the feuds and the stories, which is what everybody always talks about online, are superior to other companies, which they are. But anyway, this match goes along with those thoughts. I thought it was fine. I thought it was overbooked as hell, but it was fun for a opening match, and I think it was cool that they went with this match. The overbooked part of it, like it made sense in that the faction members kept were coming in. Then it didn't make sense when Kevin Owens and Cody Rhodes were there to me. Like, why do they care who gets the necklace? They wouldn't. But anyway, so that's my thoughts on that match. Leonard.
I agree with you because I was going to say something too. It seemed like every match had a shot to the announce table, and every match had I'm going to hit you with two finishers. Like I hit you with a chair and a table and stairs, and I set you on fire and I throw you off the roof of the building. But I hit you with my two finishers, and then you're done. One, no, but two. Everyone
Everybody
seemed to
has
have
like a
that
set
point.
group of moves, and like we can't vary from that at all. Like, it's reversal and almost this finisher, and reversal, and now I'm gonna land my finisher, but it kick it. Yeah, anyway, go ahead.
It was all very the sameness. I was very disappointed in all the matches. This one very underwhelmed me. It seemed like a lot of doing a spot and then kind of milling around until the next spot. And I would have probably, you said it made a good opener, but I maybe would have closed with it because it was a stipulation match. And like I said this to Jenny, I said, I don't know where they go from here because they've already done the announce table spot. Well, they did it again. They already did the chair spot. Well, they just did it again. So, I think it made sense that Roman Reigns, won and Rock comes out and presents him, with the wreath. But I thought this too. One thing they didn't do with this show is they didn't really get over their current people. And, Roman is part-time at best if he's not going to turn in The Undertaker and he shows up once a year. So if Sokoa would have won and then Rock, out of respect, presents him with the wreath, Sokoa is the most over guy you've got.
I do think it would have been more interesting if Solo Sokoa had won. It was no surprise that Roman Reigns won.
No.
Reigns, and it, but it's like you were saying, I don't know. Where does Roman Reigns go from here? I don't know. We'll see. I guess I'm sure they have something in the works.
Yeah.
But
I know they did a backstage segment later where he's going to make like some sort of announcement on the 27th, which would be the Raw after Royal Rumble. So.
Yeah. I've heard some rumors of a Goldberg retirement match, whether or not that involves Reigns, who knows, but we'll see. We'll see what happens. Yeah. But the next segment would be John Cena coming out. And, you know, we know already that John Cena is approaching the end, and, you know, he kind of dances around what he's going to do and even talks down on himself to a certain degree. But then, of course, makes a statement that he's going to enter the Royal Rumble. This Royal Rumble to me is interesting because I genuinely don't know who they're going with.
Yeah.
And the direction they go in, because Walter is the world champion. Gunther.
Mm-hmm.
Gunther is the world champion. So you're not going to go with him. Cody is on top. So who do you go with? Do you go with a veteran like John Cena? Do you go with CM Punk? You know, who knows? It does make for an interesting story, but, you know, John Cena entering, will he break the championship record or not? That seems to be the narrative they're going with him. So, yeah, he comes out and does his John Cena thing, you know, and gets the crowd revved up in a way that John Cena usually would do. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah, I thought this was fun. I thought he was funny. I liked how he really played up the not in a million years. I'm not going to win the title. I have a better chance of winning an Oscar. And then he goes, well, look, the only thing that could possibly happen would be if I win the Rumble. Well, I guess I could. I could enter that. Like, the way he played it off, I think, was really perfect. And I will guarantee you this. If he doesn't win it, he's going to be there at the end. He'll be one of the final four guys, definitely in that. And I agree with you. I really don't have an idea of who they might use there, so I would be interested in seeing that. But this was, again, kind of similar to the Rock segment. It was just, hey, here's a recognition pop. You love this dude, and him talking for 5 minutes. But yeah.
Yeah. And I think that if they were, an interesting story would be if they ended the Rumble with Punk and Cena, who have history.
Yeah.
I'm booking internally. I'd consider that. But anywho, the next match for one of the women's championship titles, Liv Morgan versus Rhea Ripley. To me, this was the highlight match on the card.
Mm-hmm.
I like Rhea Ripley a lot. I still do. Liv Morgan is a little bit underrated. I think it's tough to see that sometimes because Rhea Ripley is so good at pretty much everything she does. But Rhea Ripley would win the title back here, and I thought that that was the right decision. Mm-hmm. I think that the Liv Morgan Dom storyline has run its course in terms of with Rhea. The whole Judgment Day thing. So I think Rhea needed the title back. I think it makes sense for her to have it. And yeah, I mean, this match falls in line with the other ones in terms of structure, but I thought that this match was good.
Yeah, I would say this was the best match of the night for me, maybe 3 stars. I think Rhea Ripley is the best women's wrestler going today. I think, as you said, Liv Morgan is underrated. I think she's consistently gotten better and better over the years. I think Dom and Rachel, is she Rodriguez now or Gonzalez now?
I think it's Raquel Gonzalez.
Where's Gonzalez? I think their interference.
But it's all right.
Yeah, I think their interference was right. I think, you know, they didn't interfere too much, but they interfered enough. I like the spot at the end where after Rhea wins, Dominic wants to take her back, and then, you know, she hits him. So, yeah, I would agree with you. I think this was a pretty good match. I think they have good chemistry. I think that was a good story they were telling. And I'll go ahead and jump in with the aftermath being The Undertaker.
Right.
Coming out, because this is another example. Undertaker comes out and Rhea just kind of stands off to the side. So you're right. Not doing anything there. Now they do kind of this awkward, like where they're both turning over their shoulder and looking at the camera thing, which seemed really awkward. Now, what I would have done is I would have had Taker come out on the motorcycle, have him tell Rhea to get on the back, ride Rhea around the ring, up the ramp. He gets off the bike. He says, here, take my bike. He leaves. She drives it off. That's a torch passing. Hey, I was the goth badass. Now you're the goth badass. That's what I would have done.
I like that idea for sure. I never would have thought of that, but I think that would have been a cool idea. And it was cool to see The Undertaker. And, you know, we're not going to get into this yet, but let's just go over some foreshadowing. What they do with The Undertaker is a little bit different than what they would do with another legend as the show would go on.
Right, yes.
He doesn't say anything. He does his round on the motorcycle and then leaves. Keep that in the back of your head for what we're going to get to.
Yes.
Which is, but the next match, of course, would be Jey Uso versus Drew McIntyre. And this feud I haven't been paying super close attention to, but, you know, the match was what it was. You know, Drew is kind of on a downslide in terms of wins, losses, but, you know, I think that this feud, similar to the one that would main event this show, I think this is kind of the first match in what will be a longer feud. And I think if this is any sign, I think Drew will probably get the upper hand as the feud goes on. But in this case, Jay would get the quick win. Average at best match here.
Yeah, this was the worst match of the night for me. I think because, one, it was shorter, and two, because it really adhered to that formula you were talking about, like 10 million kicks. And I thought the where Jay collapses and Drew falls for it, I thought was really bad. Like, the commentary tries to cover it up. Oh, Drew's overly cocky. He's overly confident, and he got tricked. But what I thought was, look, if he's out, just drop an elbow on him and pin him. You know, instead of setting up for the Claymore. And I hate, you know, when Shawn Michaels would tune up the band, that's fine. But now everybody, if you've got some sort of a kick move, it's you waiting for 10 minutes for the guy to stand up.
Right.
You know, so I didn't really care for this match. I do think it does have potential to go forward, as you said. You know, I know that Jay's been getting a push, and both since the Usos split and the little bit that I've seen, like the WrestleMania match last year, I don't really think that they've, you know, really have done well as a single. But you know,
I'm going to go on top of what you're saying simply to agree with you, because I think that the Jay Uso solo experiment, not Solo Sikoa, but being on his own experiment, I don't think is successful. His theme music is probably, next to Cody's, one of the most popular theme musics that you'll see, because the crowd gets into it. But other than that, to me, you know, you have Roman Reigns there. You have Solo there. You know, you have that kind of quota filled. So I don't think that he's, you know, getting there as much as they would like.
Jacob Fatu is there now. I love that he's a Samoan werewolf. When he came out for the run-in, I was like, wow, because again, I haven't been watching, haven't seen him. I was like, oh, that dude, I like him. So
Right. So that leads to our next segment, which I will preface with this. So I knew that Hulk Hogan was going to be there because I follow Hulk Hogan on Twitter. On Instagram. And so he had pictures of himself with Jimmy and his family on the plane, and they were heading. And so I figured he would be there. I didn't know what they were going to do with him. I didn't really think much of it other than that. But when I heard his theme music play, I was like, this will be interesting to see what happens, you know. And sure enough, it was interesting. Hogan received, I won't even say majority were boos. I would say it was many more boos than there were cheers, for sure. So it was pretty loud, and they let him hear it right away. And I think he knew it too, because he very quickly went into his promo, said what he needed said, and that was the end of it.
So I thought he looked shocked when he got out there and he was getting the boos. There was a momentary look of shock on his face. He definitely ran through everything. I liked how he name dropped Savage and Andre, and he got no reaction. You know, So yeah, and I would ask you, you know, why do you think that is? Because I know that you know he was at the Republican National Convention. People have got on him for that, but the Undertaker had Donald Trump on his podcast. All these lies, you know, he lies and he's been a jerk, and all these things have come out about him. But it's the same thing about The Rock in the past year, the way he acts on sets and different things. Yeah. So the reaction to them was different than Hogan. So why do you think the Hogan got the jeers?
I think that it starts with the political stance. And, you know, to me, this is one of the reasons that showcases to me why wrestling fans to me are not my favorite. Like, okay, whether or not you agree with Hulk Hogan's political views to me is beside the point. Like, to me, who cares? If he had come out in a Trump shirt, that's different. He didn't. He was coming out there to promote his beer, for goodness sake. So I think that that's where it starts, based because of where they were. They were in California, which is a very liberal state, obviously. So I think that's where it starts. And but then what everybody always says on top of that is like, well, you know, he got booed, then the Undertaker should get booed. The Undertaker didn't say anything. He just came out, circled the motorcycle, and then left.
True. But
then what you also have people saying is like the difference between the two of them is, and this is where I'm going to try and not get fired up, but this Hogan's comments, racist comments years ago, is what everybody still brings up. I look, obviously, it's not cool to use racial slurs. I had thought that we were putting this behind us to a certain degree, you know, because this is not the first time Hogan has appeared since those comments.
Sure.
I had thought that that was kind of not going away, but it's like, you know, we don't like this, but he's Hogan. Maybe I'm wrong, because people all over the internet are still mentioning it as if it happened yesterday, which to me is like a little ridiculous. But then you mentioned, you know, the lying. I, you know, for years I thought everybody just kind of joked about that, like, oh, Hogan's lying about this, that, and the other. Not anything that people would have anger towards.
Right. Yeah. But
I think so. I think it's a combination of things, really. Leonard,
I can see that, and I think they're going to shelve him for a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
I could see him coming back, say in 27, because that's the WrestleMania 3 anniversary, and then doing something there. But if we see him before that, that might be surprising.
Yeah, no, I agree. You know, yeah. So that was the end of that, and then as you know, as I can recall, we go right into the main event, which is Seth Rollins versus CM Punk. Now, I will say that I like this storyline. I think that the promos have been pretty good. And you know, this is a storyline that's been building for a long time since Punk came back to WWE. This was brewing, so I was anxious to see this match, and I personally was very disappointed in how it went. I think both of these guys are capable of so much more, and I know if Triple H was probably sitting right here beside me, he would say, well, this is just the start, and I'm sure that you know you got to be in it for the long haul. Maybe, but the whole format that I mentioned before to me was underwhelming. Punk won, which I also think, similar to the Uso McIntyre thing, will lead to Seth Rollins getting the upper hand more as time goes along. But who knows? Maybe they're pushing Punk to a WrestleMania thing. I don't know. But yeah, so I didn't think this match was as good as it could have been.
No, I thought it was very dull, and maybe it was because of the length of the show, even though I watched it in two parts. I really tuned out. I really couldn't tell you a whole lot about this match because I kind of completely tuned out during it, because I think it was a combination of, again, that wear down of everything has been the same. And again, I expected more out of both these guys, even if they were like, well, let's give 70% tonight because we're going to give 100 next time out. I wouldn't do that. They're both older. They're both hurt. Sure.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So overall, I mean, I don't know what the streaming numbers are, but I'm sure that this is going to be an overwhelming success. And
yes, I would guess.
Production values and structure. I mean, they had a packed card. They had all the stars out. They clearly wanted to have as many eyes on the product as possible. And I think that they probably accomplished that as much as they could. So I'm sure it was a very successful show. It was a 3-hour show that I did watch from start to finish, which I can't say I've done in a very long time with Raw. So yeah, I mean, it was interesting to view that. I think this is the first modern thing that Leonard and I both watched in a while.
Probably since last year's WrestleMania. So the first like non-pay-per-view in forever and a day or premium live event.
So yeah, let us know what you thought about it. Give us your comments on anything and check out our other episodes as well, our other videos. We're also available wherever you listen to podcasts. For Leonard, my name is Chad, and we will see you next time.